Let the church say amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. It's good to be here once again with each and every one, seeing each and every one of you. And I'm glad that you were able to make it out, just as I'm glad that I was able to make it out. When we think of the goodness of God, we oftentimes forget that God doesn't have to be this good to us, but He has been. So let us take a few moments each and every day that we live, that we rise up in the morning, and that we lay down at night to thank Him for His goodness. In our text that was read for your hearing today, in Matthew chapter 28, the verses 19 and verses 20, I'm also going to read verse 18 as well. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, You have blessed us once again, O Lord. You have brought us forward from where we were at on last night. You have brought us forward from where we were at on yesterday. And thank You, O Heavenly Father, we pray and ask You to take us even further forward into tomorrow. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for blessing us and giving us a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. We pray this morning for those who are not feeling their best. We just pray and ask You, O Heavenly Father, to bless them that they may feel better really soon now, O Lord, that they may be able to be back with us if they're not with us today. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for this congregation, its leadership, and each and every member in this congregation this morning. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that we have been blessed enough to know that on Sunday morning, this is where we need to be. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, when the streets are flowing with blood as they are, we have a safe haven in the church, O Lord. And we thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You for families, friends, and loved ones, but we pray and thank You most of all for Jesus, Your Son, who You sent down to this world, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross. Then He came out of the grave and came back to heaven to sit on Your right hand, O Lord, and we thank You. Father, we pray and ask You to be with each and every member in here today and watch over and keep us, Father, and bless these services that we are about to enter into, that they may be found decent and acceptable in Thy sight. Thank You for everything, O Lord, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Didn't know if you were awake or not. Just checking. In the scripture that I read for your hearing from Matthew 28 and verse number 18 through verse number 20, we want to talk about the church's duties or the duties of the church. In our text today, we find Jesus giving instructions on what we as members of the body of Christ are to do. We are to reach out to the lost. We are to teach them, and we are to baptize them. We are to help them to understand and teach them that they may understand and observe what God has commanded. The job of the church is not completed simply because we have baptized someone. The job must be a continual process. We must guide them from milk to strong meat, as in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 13, I believe it is. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. When we find one that needs to be taught the word of God, we are to teach them. The principle is the same in family, so why not in the church? Are we not a family? Are we not a family church? So just as we go about the task of bringing the lost to Jesus, we want them to become believers just like those of us who are members of the Lord's body. How do we do this? Well, number one, we become an example. We become an example. We ought to become an example to others. When the church wins a soul for Christ, the entire body should rejoice. Not just the ones who preach to them, not just the one who had the Bible study with them, and not just the leaders who encouraged them, but the whole church ought to rejoice. Do you remember in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in the verses number 12 where Paul was telling, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Now, what we have been instructed right there, we are instructed on exhortation being given to a young, the exhortation has been given to a young Timothy from an older and a wiser Paul on how to be a good example. This is the work for us today, not only to preachers, but to all the general body of Christ. Now, I'm not going to accuse anyone in here today of anything, so before anybody says Brother Carter is accusing us of something, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm simply saying we need to be examples to others. We need to be an example to especially those who do not know the Lord in the pardoning of their sins. There are some folk who hate to see another soul get baptized. Now, I say that lightly because I don't want to accuse anybody of that, but I'm simply saying, if you ever looked out in the audience when someone is about to be baptized, it's the general consensus of many that I don't have time for this today. I don't want to stay here any longer, but I'll tell you, I don't feel like helping nobody getting dressed and undressed so that they can become baptized. The look upon their face says it all. Yet this is the instruction from Jesus in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19, where the Bible says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Jesus, and I like the way Jesus did this, but let us visit verse 18 for a minute so I can point out something there to you. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Jesus came down. He didn't send a letter. He didn't send a note. He came and stood before the disciples and he said unto them, "I want you to do this, and I'm giving you these instructions face to face." And somebody may say, "Well, how did Jesus get all the power that he said was given unto him?" And the question becomes, where from, Jesus, did you get this power? Jesus got his commission straight from the Father in heaven and in earth. Jesus came to them in person and said unto them, gave them instructions on what they were supposed to do. He said, "All power," in verse 18, "all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So Jesus didn't send instructions. He brought instructions. That's how we ought to be today. We ought to take the Word of God to the lost. We ought to bring souls to Jesus Christ. And somebody was made mention of the fact a few minutes ago that we ought to be hard-fighting soldiers. We need to be hard-fighting soldiers. You know, and there are so many things in this world today that can distract us. I know that there are many distractions in the world today. I understand that. Sometimes things get in our way. And what do you mean by things? Well, anything sometimes can cause us to become a distraction to us. Anything, little things, such things that have no business becoming distractions between us and God can become a distraction. If you're married, sometimes, ladies, it's your husband who becomes a distraction. Men, sometimes it's your wife who becomes a distraction to you. And you need to put your faith back in the Lord and come backwards and come back to the Lord. So when the Lord gave these instructions, He said again in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So in John chapter 17, in verse number 2, the Bible says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Those were the words of Jesus as he spoke to his heavenly Father in John chapter 17. So when Jesus tells us to win, to teach, and to baptize, it should be taken as having authority to tell us what to do. Now, I know what some think and some may say. I don't see where, and I don't understand where this authority may have come from. As I mentioned to you earlier, it came directly from heaven. And when you look at the matter in its entirety, the big picture, if you will, God and Jesus are the heavenly, two of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit makes the third one. And if it came from heaven, it came from God the Father to the Son, Jesus. So he said in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So not only are we to be examples, we are to be examples by the way we carry ourselves. You know, and sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes church folk don't act like church folk. Church folk act like anything but church folk. They get in their mind that I can only be a church person on Sunday. But you got to be a church person every day of every week. You've got to be living for the Lord 7 days a week, not just on the Lord's Day. Some folks say, well, it's the Lord's Day, and that's the day I'll give to Him. But that's not it. We've got to be a good example. Do you know, I'll be honest with you. If I follow some of the people who tell me they're members of the Lord's church, I probably would never come. I'm just saying, if I followed some of the people who are members of the Church of Christ, I probably would never become a member of the Church of Christ. You've got to act a part of a Church of Christ, of Jesus, a believer on Jesus Christ, all the time. Not only are we to be examples, but we are to pray for one another. Oh, and this is something that many churches are guilty of. This in this area of service, many think that the only time to pray is when things are going badly. That's not the only time to pray. You ought to pray when things are going good as well. You know, when you got up this morning, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for the sunshine that I see beaming through the window. It was rainy all day yesterday and barely the sun was shining. But this morning you got sunlight. You ought to be thankful for that. You ought to actually be thankful for the rain that fell on yesterday. Oh yes, it was overwhelming, but it was good because it's going to refresh it's going to grow the flower, the food, the seed for our food. It's going to make the grass greener and make the trees grow. And all that's good for us. In the Bible, in James chapter 5 and verse number 16, the Bible tells us to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are to pray about everything according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. We like to pray when things seem at their worst. Lord, I don't feel very good today, so I'm asking you to help me feel better. But on yesterday when you felt real good, did you say, thank you, Lord, for letting me feel good? You got to pray all the time, and you got to pray for one another. I pray for you all the time, even if you don't pray for me, I'm still praying for you. And I tell you this all the time, that whether you pray for me or not, I'm still going to pray for you, and I still do. I pray for the church. I pray for the membership. I even call many of you by name because I'm supposed to pray one for another. And if we're trying to win, souls to Jesus, we need to pray for them that we are trying to win also. Pray that that their minds will be open to the teaching that you are about to teach them. In James chapter 1 and the verses number 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all. Seasoned Christians need wisdom. We need wisdom as seasoned Christians that we may teach newer Christians the Word of God. We must pray that as seasoned believers we have the wisdom and the knowledge to know when to say and how to say what needs to be said. And some of us are guilty of not knowing how to say what we're trying to say. Some of us, we just open our mouths and whatever flows out, we assume that that's the right thing that I wanted to say. But there's a right way to say anything and everything to anybody and to all people. We got to learn how to do that. We've got to learn how to speak with wisdom and have knowledge in order to know how to say what we need to say. In Proverbs chapter 4 and the verses number 7, the Bible talks about wisdom. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You've got to understand, and you don't, without knowledge, you'll never understand. Now, I know that sounds kind of being scolding you of type, if you will, but it's not. It's just simply saying what the Bible says. It says to get wisdom, and then with all the wisdom, get an understanding. Wisdom, when we get wisdom, we can then help others to understand the Word of God. As any believer knows, it can sometimes be hard to get folk to understand things. This is where our wisdom and our knowledge ought to kick in. You've got to understand that wisdom gives you the ability to know what to do, but knowledge gives us the ability to know how to do what we already know how to do, what wisdom teaches us to do. So when I look at this text once again, it says in verse 19, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And you know, when we're trying to make example, be an example to someone, and we're trying to pray with someone, we've got to understand something. Are you believable? I mean, if you don't act like a Christian, you're not setting an example as a Christian, you've got to learn to get wisdom. Some folk think that I'll just go in here and tell these people anything. I'll just let the people know that what the Bible says, I won't try to explain it to them. I won't try to get them to understand it. But if you don't understand it, then you should not be trying to teach somebody else. You've got to get wisdom and knowledge for yourself. Not only that, but we are to help keep one another on track. And somebody may say, well, what do you mean by keeping one another on track? Well, whenever we get new believers, one of the things the church must do is to keep them from slipping back into their old ways and their old lifestyle. If a member does slip and fall, the church is to help bring them back. And how can I do that, preacher? Well, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, when one is tempted, it works on all of us differently. Some may be able to resist the temptation. Some may not. And therefore, they may fall. But it's not for the rest of us. It's not for the rest of us to try and be the first one to say, I told you so. And a lot of us like to say, we like to jump up and say, I told you he or she wasn't ready to be a Christian. I told you he or she wasn't ready, and we shouldn't have never accepted them. And well, you don't have to make the decision whether they're ready or not. God will weed out those that are not. God weeds out the chaff. Does he not? She was not really ready to be. He or she was not really ready to be a Christian. Before one makes that statement, they need to reread Galatians 6 and 1. It says, those who are spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of, I want you to notice this word, of meekness. Meekness. Meekness means gentle, mild. It consists not of a person's outward only behavior. It reflects on one's inward feelings toward his fellow man as well. You've got to be meek. And I know what some say. Some say if they don't get it when I tell them, they probably are not able to understand. Well, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you that are not explaining it in the right way. So when we go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, we are to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says we are to be kind to one another. Have you been kind to one another lately? Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Did you forget about that? Did you forget that Christ forgave you? Did you forget that God forgave you because of Christ? Do you understand that if God had not forgiven us, where would we be today? If we had not been given full forgiveness, we would still be living in our sin. Certainly the church must teach love, for without love we will never be able to forgive one another. In 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 11, the Bible says, beloved, if God so love us, we ought to love one another. Verse number 12 says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Somebody may get left out on that text. Many people don't like to love one another. They'll pretend love. They'll pretend to love one another, but they won't really love one another. When you love somebody, you can overlook what they were or what they have been. You see what God can make them to be. Just like He had to take you from where you were at to bring you into the fold, we've got to give others the opportunity. So we've got to go out and we've got to win others to Christ. How do we win others to Christ? By being that example. By praying for one another. And by loving one another. There are some areas that we need working on. There are some areas that the church must strive to get more proficient in. The text today has Jesus speaking to His disciples, telling them they are to teach, baptize, and baptize all nations, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. This is the mission of the church today. Let us follow Jesus and His word. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. When we help one another to keep on the right track, we'll all be able to understand why we take the communion every first day of the week. You know, some folks don't understand why we take the communion every first day of the week. Now, you got that sign right in front of you, say, do this in remembrance of me. But, you know, there are folk who say that, well, at my church, we only take it every fifth Sunday. Or we only take it every fourth Sunday. But the Bible teaches us to take communion upon the first day of the week. Does it not, church? We are to observe Jesus, remember Jesus hanging on the cross, His body and His blood. And the wine, the cracker represents His body, and the grape wine represents His blood. We'll understand that when we are truly members of the Church of Christ. We'll understand what Matthew 16 and 18 really meant. We talked about it in Bible class this morning. And I don't want to go any further with that because we've already been through it. We understand why we sing without the aid of musical instruments in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. We can understand why we should have all things in one accord as in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. All because we are to live in the Word of God. And I tell you something. Living the Word of God sometimes can be hard for us to do. Sometimes we find that being a church of Christ, being a child of God and being a member of the Church of Christ is not easy to follow all the rules. But I'll tell you something. When you love the Lord, you'll obey His commandments. When you love the Lord, you'll do what the Bible tells us to do. And the Bible says in verse number, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through verse number 20, for all power, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And that part in verse number 20 is what I want you to focus on for just a moment here. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. If we are members of the Lord's body, we will teach like the Bible teaches us to teach. We will pray like the Bible tells us to pray for one for another. We will love one another just like the Bible tells us to do. And I tell you, church, loving one another, I know, is not always easy. I would love him, but I don't care for him. Well, it didn't ask you to care for him. It told you to love him. I would do better by him, but I just don't like him. You don't have to like him, but you have to love him. I would do all right if it wasn't for the way he looks. Well, you don't have to worry about the way he looks. God didn't make us all looking the same. Some of us are good looking people. Some of us are not so good looking people. But God still made us. And God still knows us. And as members and believers in the body of Christ, we need to accept the fact that we are to overlook those faults that we consider to be faults. We are to overlook that and bring them to Christ. The Bible says, go out and bring them to Christ. And then it says, teach them and baptize them. How do you get somebody baptized when they've never been taught? How do you get somebody to understand something when they've never had any teaching? How do you get somebody to accept the Word of God when they never opened the Bible in their lives? That's where we come in, church. When we sit down with someone and we open up the Word of God to them. Now, everybody's got a different method of teaching, but I like to, when I sit down with somebody, I like to say, you read this, and then I'll explain it to you if you don't understand it. Now, you may say, I'll read this, and then I'll explain it to them. That's your method. But anyway, the Bible tells us to do, to get them in, to teach them, and to baptize them. Now, how you do it, as long as it's done by the Bible, it's all right. But the Bible must be a part of your teaching process in bringing people to Christ. And when I look at this matter even a little further, I think about how hard it must have been for those disciples, because you know why? They didn't have cars. They had to walk everywhere they went. And the roads were hot. The roads were dusty. The roads were not easy for them to navigate because there was robbers, there were thieves, there was everything going on. But they still went out and did the work of the Lord. And we've got cars. Most of us have cell phones. Most of us, or a lot of us, have computers. And a lot of us are very proficient in the use of computers. Isn't that right? You know how to text somebody over the phone. You know how to email somebody over the computer. You know just how to reach somebody when you want to reach somebody. But those disciples, they had to walk or ride donkeys. But yet they were still proficient in getting the job done. You know why? Because they loved the Lord. And I'm not saying you don't love the Lord. I'm simply saying you got to love your fellow man in order to try to bring him and win him to Christ. And somebody may ask the question this morning, if I win a soul to Christ, can I count on the church to do what they're supposed to do? Bring them to church, let the church help you teach them. After you've taught them, bring them to church. Let the church explain the Word of God to them, and then we can baptize them in the watery grave of baptism. Now, everybody is not going to want to get baptized. I've had people to say, do I really have to get baptized? Yes, you do. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we must baptize you. The Bible teaches us that we've got to win you, we've got to teach you, and we've got to get you to observe all things that Jesus has commanded of us to do. So then, how do I, as a member of the Church of Christ, go out and reach out to others? Well, first of all, if you are a member of the Lord's body, you ought to know the answer to that question. Study your Bible so that you can be able to reach out and help someone else to get wisdom and knowledge just as you have. You know, it's not easy being a Christian all the time. And I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. I said it a few minutes ago. But sometimes you have to just put yourself out of the way. I've also said this, 98% of our problem is me. 98% of my own problem is me. If I can move me out of the way, I can get something accomplished. I always put me in the front of everything else, though, just like the rest of you do. You've got to learn to move me to the side sometimes and put God first. How do I learn how to do that? Well, you become a member of the Lord's body. How do I become a member of the Lord's body? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already done that, but you walked astray, you can come back home just like the prodigal son came back. You can come back too. You come back, ask the Lord to forgive you, come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may grow stronger. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.